Welcome to the audio podcast of The Father's House. We hope and pray you are both challenged and encouraged by this time in the Word.
Hey, let's welcome all of our locations while you're on your feet. Come on. Everybody out there, Prison Church Network, Calgary, Canada, all the campuses, we love you guys so much. Well, Lord, speak to us today by the power of your Word. Amen. Are you ready for it? Turn to your neighbor and say, you look amazing. You look, and then pull up a chair. And if you're here and you're single, you're welcome. All right. You still got the keys out there? Yeah. Well, we're in a series called Heart for the House. Today, we're going to continue in that. And with that, we're providing a book for everybody. These are in the lobby for the low, low price of free 90 free at all locations. So here's the caveat, one per household, and we want you to actually read it. Read it, underline it, highlight it. This is the mission, vision, and values of the house. And so we want to go through this book as we go through the series. The goal of this series is this, that you would have a heart for the house that God is building, the church that Jesus is coming back for. Not to be morbid or dramatic, but the church is the only thing that outlasts the destruction of the planet. It's the church. And so I want you to be a part of that, amen? And understand what it means to be planted in the house of the Lord, to flourish in the courts of God. It just so happens that today, right now, is the anniversary of the Father's House. Today we turn 27 years old. Happy anniversary. East Bay, Roosevelt, happy anniversary. So 27 years ago, a few scared people set up some folding chairs at Browns Valley Elementary School. And we stood outside, and I nervously waited to see if anybody would show up. And they actually did, and then they left. But then you showed up. And 27 years later, look what the Lord has done, which means that the vision that we've been walking with was not conjured up by man or somebody's imagination, but it was a God-given vision. And the way that happened, I was driving from Concord, where Donna and I were living, and we were coming up to stay off and on with her mom, who lived here in Vacaville. And I was in this Volkswagen you'll see on the screen. Not that that's significant, but for me, that became a sanctuary for the presence of God. And one day I was driving up 80, and we were praying about starting a church in this town that I just thought was a place to stop and get burgers on the way to Sacramento Airport. Come to find out, the Lord met me, and he gave me a vision of what we're now a part of. And it's a vision that's progressive, it's exponential, and God's bringing all of us into it. And I want to read a few lines and try to articulate what happened to me in the car that day and how God spoke to me. And it's not just for myself. I was at the gym yesterday, and one of our leadership college guys came running up, and he said, Pastor Dave, he says, I was seeking God Monday night, and the Holy Spirit showed up in my room. It was overwhelming, and God began to speak to me. I want you to know today, no matter where you're at, what location, God wants to visit you. If it's in your bedroom, if it's in your secret place, wherever that is, if it's in a Volkswagen Cabriolet with the top down so that the Holy Spirit can enter in. And so God gave me a vision of what we would build. Let me read a few lines. And this is in the book. I tried to articulate, which is really beyond words. It's indefinable, but I wrote this. I could see thousands of people gathering around the greatness of Jesus, being transformed by his grace and power, and then going out to change their world. I could see people coming from all directions, multitudes longing to experience the presence, power, beauty, and reality of Jesus. I could see musicians, preachers, singers, artists, missionaries, pastors, leaders, and students all working together to create an environment, a church that was irresistible to the spiritually thirsty. The irresistible factor was not the excellence of the facility, the staff, marketing, or style, although all those things are important. The irresistible factor was simply the presence of God himself. The atmosphere was charged with faith and joy. The magnetism of the beauty of his church was astonishing, and there was a humility and honor that was palpable. It was a place, a space, a zone of glory that you never wanted to leave. I was captivated at just the thought of being able to be a part of something so grand, so limitless, and so eternal. Now, for a pastor's kid who'd seen church splits, failure in ministry, legalism, dead religion, I was tired of church. I was ready to just get away from all of it. One encounter with God when he showed me a glimpse of what he's designed his church to be. Now, you remember the church is not man's idea. It's not a denomination. It's not an organization. It's not a vision that man put together. It's the heart of God. It's his bride, his family, his body. And when I glimpsed the future, and we've seen a lot of progress, obviously, with all of our campuses and our church plants and Prison Church Network and the Father's House network of churches now that's spanning to different nations and states. It's been Ephesians 3:20, hasn't it? Exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or imagine. But yet there's so much more. And the more is not bigger buildings. And maybe there will be. The more is not adding how many campuses we can add to the roster. And maybe there will be. I'm sure there will. But here's the more. The more is a coming move of God that I've been prophesying now for many years. And each move of God historically, both biblical outpourings of the Spirit and post-biblical history, you'll find in revivals that there's a demarcation, there's an identification point. Like the Latter Rain movement, there were miracles and healings and evangelists like Oral Roberts and different ones that were used. There's been outpourings of the Spirit where there's different manifestations, and some it was joy and the Toronto blessing back in the mid-90s, I was a part of that. But the coming move of God will be identified by an undeniable and irresistible presence of God that is so tangible and real upon the church that it will repel the dead religious people that don't want any part of it, and it will attract the spiritual thirsty at a level that we've never seen. And it's coming, and we get to be a part of it. Right now, we're cleaning our nets, and we're stretching the wineskin, and we're preparing what God is gonna do. We're putting structure together so when his Spirit is poured out, we'll be ready for all that he's gonna do in our house. I hope you're up for the ride, because that's the vision we've been building on for 27 years. And when God gave me that vision, we said, okay, we're gonna start a church with 8 people and let's go, you know, no money, no game plan, just a vision in our heart. Then the Lord gave me a prophetic verse out of Exodus 33. I wanna read that to you. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish us from all the other people on the face of the earth? The presence of God, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, his nearness that you sense, I believe, today in our worship settings, that is the identification, the identity point of the church. It separates us from all other dead religions and cults and organizations. Makes us different than the Elks Lodge or the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. You know, they got better cookies anyway, but here's what we have. We have the Holy Spirit walking with us and abiding upon us. And if you're part of the Father's house, the vision of this house has forever been, since we started, that people would encounter the reality of God. They wouldn't encounter a service, a sermon, a lecture, a discipleship class. And this is not emotionalism. It's not Pentecostalism or goosebumps or trying to create some atmosphere with light and sound where people are like, ooh, that felt great. No, it's actually an encounter with the living God and the person of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens to you, it will change you for the rest of your days. So we said, God, don't lead us up from here without your presence. Whatever we do, however big, whatever influence you give us, it is your presence that is our vision. Can you guys give me an amen? Amen. Thank you, Rachel. We'll call you back in just a few minutes. So I want to talk to you about you carrying vision in your life that connects with the eternal vision that God has given the church. Now, all self-respecting companies and organizations and franchises, sports franchises, whoever it might be, they all have vision statements. And they're of a temporal nature. And I actually got caught up in my study prep. Excuse me. I started looking at vision statements of different organizations. You know, Nike, through their innovation and their design, their vision is to inspire every athlete in the world. Noble. Swoosh, let it be. Burger King, theirs is really concise. They want to make the best burgers and make the most money. Nailed it. So I started looking at all these different vision statements. Actually, I checked on the AI. Is it ChatGPT? Anybody on that? So anyway, I went to that now, trying to find out their vision statement. Guess what? They asked me if they could write mine. True story. I'm not kidding. But see, those vision statements are temporal. And you've been called to live with an eternal vision for your life. And if your vision doesn't outlive you, if it's not bigger than you and your immediate family, you're aiming too low. because God has called you to carry a vision with your life that will impact people for all of eternity. By the power of His Holy Spirit, He will enable you to do that. Let me ask you a personal question. What is the vision you have for your life? Are you able to write it down? Have you crafted a vision statement? I started working on this a couple years back when I was challenged by a leader. Said, you know what you do, you know what you're trying to accomplish, but have you articulated the vision that God has given you for your life? And I believe that's important. And then as you write that vision statement, can you ask this question about the vision for your life? Will it impact people beyond their life? Am I pointing them toward eternity? Because life is short, isn't it? And eternity is real, and people matter most. You know, when you ask people that question, hey, what's your vision statement for your life? If you were to ask that, what people will respond with is goals and aspirations. Like, I want to lose a bunch of weight, get down to a certain weight, or I want to buy my own house, or, you know, find a better boyfriend, or build a successful business. All those are great goals, unless you're the current boyfriend, but they're very temporal. And I've heard people say, man, my vision is I'm going to build my own business. I got a business plan in my heart. Yeah, go for it. That's a great goal. But then they start that business and they realize they got payroll and insurance and workers' comp and taxes and rogue employees and lease payments. They're like, man, I just want to go work for somebody. Talk to some people, their goal, their vision is, man, a retirement home on the lake. Man, when I finally get done with this job, I'm going to go up that lake and zzz, vroom, which sounds great. I think I could use a month or two of that. But here's what happens. After you get to the lake house and cast that reel and rod for about a month, you're like, I'm bored to death. I think I need to go get a job. Anybody seen that? You see, if your goals, if your aspirations are not connected with an eternal vision, they will fall short of God's capacity for your life. And so my thesis today is, in order for the vision of your life to be significant and lasting, it must be connected to what Jesus is building for eternity, and that is His church. He's coming back for His bride. There is a church in heaven and on earth, according to Hebrews. And so this verse right here, 1 Corinthians 12:19, for no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. So today I want to invite you to catch a vision for the house of God. If you're looking for a local church, maybe you're a guest today and you're in this region, we would welcome you to get planted here and learn how to follow Jesus, become a true, fully committed disciple of Christ in this house. If you're from another city, you're tapping in on the stream, let me encourage you to find a local church in your city that's preaching the gospel, worshiping in spirit and truth, giving to missions, people that love God, and get planted in that house, because you will flourish in the courts of God. Amen? Amen? Let me give you two big ideas about living with an eternal vision or a God-given vision. Number one, eternal vision enables us to see what God is doing, okay? What He's doing. And for a few minutes, if you'll allow me, I want to pastor some people in the room who are, you're stuck, maybe you're confused, you're riddled with fear, uncertainty about the future, because you're looking around in this election year and with our economy and the morality of our world and wars in the Middle East and Ukraine and everything that's blowing up all around us, you're wondering, man, if this keeps getting worse, and so you struggle with fear. You do wrestle with anxiety, as we heard that exhortation during our worship time here at Vacaville today. But there's a narrative in 2 Kings, and let me set this up for you. The prophets, there was a school of the prophets, there was a house that they built which represented the house of God. It's a type of the church. And they outgrew the house. So under the leadership of Elisha, he takes all the prophets and they go out to chop some wood. So they go to chop some wood to build a bigger house for the Lord. Now, whenever you're involved in building a bigger house for the Lord, there is a very real adversary. You see, we're all about, if you don't know our mission statement, here it is. The Father's house exists so that people far from God will find life in Christ. What you heard from the baptism tank today at this location, our precious brother who spent 8 years at Solano Prison came to saving faith through his wife and showed up in the building today. This is why we exist. This is why we do what we do. And whenever you're going after those that are on their way to hell and you redirect them toward heaven, you will face spiritual warfare. That's why it says in Ephesians to take the full armor of God. And having done that, to take your stand. And so we've taken a stand as a church. We're not here to entertain pre-church Christians. We are here to reach people that are broken and hurting and send people that were on their way to hell without God to eternity with their Heavenly Father. Is anybody hear me today? Give me an amen, Napa. Come on, somebody. We're all about it. 2 Kings chapter 6. So one night the king of Syria sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Let me just allow you to envision this scene. There's Elisha and his servant surrounded by the entirety of all the armies of Syria, horses and chariots lining the mountains around the valley they were camped in. And this poor little servant gets up, he walks outside, and there's probably thousands of armed warriors just to take him out. And he goes into a panic because he can only see in the natural realm. And that's what will happen to you if you're just looking at your personal economy or the bills that are weighing down, or the corruption of our public school system, or whatever it is that you view and you think, "God, help us." He was overwhelmed by what he saw until the man of God said, well, let me paraphrase here. The context was this: you're on mission. You're building a house for the glory of God. You're representing Israel. You've partnered up with the man of God. So let me pray over you that you could see what's really happening. And atop those hills, they were surrounded by Syrian armies. He looks up a little higher and he sees what's really going on. And he sees chariots and horses and flames of fire and the host of heaven. And now, how many know that would change your attitude in a heartbeat? And that's what some of you need to do today, is just get a glimpse a little bit higher of what God is doing. You see, I have concerns about this 2024 year. I have concerns and strong opinions about the coming election, as do you. I have some concerns about the godless stances of our nation and the impending judgment if we don't turn to God. I have worries and concerns that I deal with just as all of you. But here's the deal. I've been spending some time building the house of the Lord, waiting on Him. And occasionally, I get a glimpse a little bit higher, and here's what I see. God's not nervous. He has a sovereign plan to turn this nation back to Him. I'm fully convinced, as sure as you're sitting there in those chairs, that there's a coming move of the Holy Spirit that will turn the hearts of a generation back to Christ. That's what I believe. You believe what you want, but I've looked up a bit higher. I've seen some chariots. I've seen some fire. I've seen the armies of God coming in our direction. So I'm not nervous about the Syrian army. I'm not nervous about all that. Now, why did he have access to that kind of vision? Because he was building a house that God was building. Paul prayed this same exact prayer for the church in Ephesus. Now, when Paul writes to the churches in Ephesus or Colossae or Corinth or wherever he would send his letters, the Holy Spirit preserved those letters, didn't he? So that you could have them. So what Paul wrote and what he spoke is specifically and directly for you today. And he was praying. He said, every time I think about you, church, I can't stop praying and asking God. And then he prayed this in Ephesians chapter 1. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He's called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul prayed the same thing over you in the church that Elisha prayed over his servant. God, open his eyes. This spirit of revelation, the actual language means to lift a veil. Now, the veils over eyes are mentioned in Isaiah. It's mentioned in Corinthians twice. And this concept of people that have rebelled against God, they've stiff-armed God. It says in Corinthians 4:4 that there's a veil over their eyes spiritually so that they cannot not even hear the good news. And so Paul says that's why we preach. And when we preach under the authority of the Holy Spirit and declare Jesus, the veil is lifted and they can see Christ. It says over the Jewish people that when Jesus came to his own and they rejected him, a veil came over their eyes. So when the Torah, the Old Testament, is read, they don't even perceive Messiah because of this veil. But then he says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is lifted. Revelation is exactly that. See, there are things that God wants to do in your life, but maybe today there's a veil. You can't see what he wants to do in your business or with your kids or in your marriage or a ministry that's in his heart for you because there's a veil. So Paul prays this, I ask the Heavenly Father to give you a spirit of revealing, to lift up that veil so that you can perceive God's great plan for your life. And today, as we conclude at all locations, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let me circle back and mention that this comes as we connect with what God is building. Let me say it this way. When you commit your life to build what God is building, you'll get to see what he sees. It changes your vision. When you're committed to his house and say, God, I'm planted, I'm all about it, your priorities shift. You realize, yeah, people matter most. Eternity is real. I got to get busy. And you start to see things at a different perspective. The second thing I want to share today is this. Eternal vision is exponential. It's not just addition. There's actually a multiplication when this gentleman here on the front row brings his vision and his gifting, and Mark and Marianne bring their vision and their gifting to the house. It's not just one plus one plus one. There's a multiplication that takes place. It's like when songwriters, good songwriters, get together. It's exponential. When creative people get in a room together, there's a dynamic that takes place. And so the vision of the Father's house is not static. Sure, it started in the Volkswagen Cabriolet 27 years ago with this picture, and then it started with one location, then two, and then three, then five, and church plants, and it has expanded, but it hasn't stopped. Why? Because you're here. And maybe no one's ever told you this, but you're a visionary. You have vision in your heart. You have creativity. You have great ideas. Maybe they're veiled at this point, or maybe you're too discouraged to tap into it. But what would it look like if there was an army of people that were committed to his house, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, praying for wisdom and revelation, meeting in community, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to give them a God birth vision. I'll tell you what it looked like. There's no limits. There's no limits to what God can do. And maybe, you know, your big break, your big moment, that door you need to walk through, maybe you're a connection away. Maybe there's another visionary you need to sit and have some coffee with. And in that conversation, the lights come on and a door opens and you get unstuck. Because vision is, in fact, exponential. And for our few minutes together before I pray for you, I want to do a little show and tell. Because what we've seen in the house over the 27 years is God brings people that see a need. God brings people that have a nation in their heart, a ministry in their heart. And it fits within the scope and the context of our mission. And as long as it fits within our mission statement, we always just say, let's go. Let's believe God to finance it and let's get busy. Many years ago, some people saw the need to reach hurting people in our city that needed to be fed and clothed, needed some shoes, needed some help. And We Love Our City was born. The storehouses at all our locations became a part of the vision. And yesterday, while it was driving, pouring rain, this is fresh video footage, just look to the screen. Here's what Pastor Raymond and some of the team were all about. They're just out there fulfilling the vision. Look, there's a river running through the parking lot, and a river runs through it. But they would not be detoured. Look at U-Haul trucks full of food. And then let's see this picture of our beloved Pastor Raymond leading the charge. Come on, somebody. Doesn't he look like the Pope of benevolence right there? Now, many years ago, we do these trips to Dream Center in Los Angeles, Pastor Matthew Barnett, and we serve at Skid Row and pray for people and help them distribute food. And one of the leaders on this team saw a young man that had just beat up tennis shoes. There was no top on the shoes. His feet were falling out. And he asked the team leader if he could go buy a pair of shoes and take it back to him the next day, which he did. And he noticed as he did, there were kids lining up as far as he could see, hoping they could get a pair of shoes. Came back home. Yeah, came back home to adopt a block in Vacaville. And that was the birth of a vision that we've called Kicks for Kids. And I don't want to read you a story real briefly about it. The story is, after about a year of doing adopt a block, we noticed, regardless of what time of year it was, most of the children in the blocks that we serve, they wore flip-flops, the dollar store version. After talking to parents, we discovered if they even had shoes, they were not allowed to wear them on the weekends so the shoes could stay in good shape. We approached some shoe stores in town and worked out some discounts. And now we provide a new pair of tennis shoes to every child in all the blocks. I cannot really begin to explain the level of dignity it brings to these families and the amount of joy experienced by the kids. And here's a phrase we hear over and over again from the kids. Can we keep the box? Because the hand-me-downs never come in a box. Yeah, and here's a young kid just enjoying his new shoes right there is what you saw. The vision expanded. The vision expanded. When we planted the church, the Holy Spirit didn't say to me, buy some tennis shoes for the kids. What did he do? He added a visionary to walk alongside. 7 years ago, our kids' pastors, Peter and Heather, which are over in the kids' rooms, they saw the need to make a place for our special needs community, and Champions Club was born. Here's a couple pics of some of the champions who've been baptized in water. And every week in our Champions Clubs now at several of our locations, those with special needs have a place where they can hear the gospel in a way they can receive it, make a decision to follow Christ. And through Champions Club, the vision has expanded. Amen. Many years ago, a couple amazing brothers had a vision to minister to men in our prisons. I see Brian Rexford on the second row. He's one of them. Fast forward to today, the Prison Church Network is now in every state penitentiary in California because of a vision. The vision expanded. This morning, we baptized Angel, who just got released from Solano Prison. So come on, somebody. The vision expanded. I want to shout out to Napa Campus and Perry Best. Perry had a vision to see the ladies at Napa State Facility pastored, so she started a community there and a campus there that is growing, and the vision has expanded in Napa. Come on. Some of our worship community, under the leadership of Pastor Joseph and Tasha and Rich, they saw a need in the church plants. We work with a church planting organization, and they saw a need in the churches around our nation and beyond to equip musicians and worship leaders, and the school of worship was born, and it's growing. The vision has expanded. One more, well, a couple more. Some folks had a heart to see leaders. And I could do this all day, by the way. There's so much going on. And you know the beauty of being me? Is I'm not doing this stuff. In other words, there's so much ministry going on that I hear about second and third hand. Like, did you hear what happened? And I just thank you, Jesus, for an army of people that are visionary. But people had a heart to go to Nepal, Haiti, Poland, India, Sri Lanka, other nations. And so global reach began to expand. And yesterday I was counting up all the nations we've traveled to, invested in. We built Bible colleges, we built homes and schools and feeding programs. And I did the count, and currently, guess what it is? 27 nations. Did I mention what today was? It's our 27th. No big deal, just a number. What's in a number? And the vision expanded. Let me give you one more. We had a vision to help plant churches through our partnership with ARC, which is the Association of Related Churches, and I get to serve on the lead team and plant churches all over America. And just in America, we just celebrated this week, 1,097 churches have been planted. The average attendance on launch day is upwards of 350 people. The recent launch just a couple of weeks ago with the church plants, over 12,000 people came to Christ in one day because of your investment. Come on, somebody. It's expanding. It's expanding. But I want to ask you, what's your part to play? What's your role? Have you stepped in? Because it will not happen without getting planted and committed to what God is building, and that is the local church. Read you one more verse. I'm going to ask the band to come. Proverbs 29:18, and this will come up on the large screen. I'm going to ask all of us to read this out together. all locations. Come on, bring this up and let's read it together. Here we go. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When his vision becomes your vision, you step into the blessing of God. When you build what he's building, you'll see what he's seeing. And when you see what he's seeing, you'll walk in a different direction. It will adjust the way you give. It will adjust the way you live. It'll shape your priorities. And so today, our significance is not in our private, personal vision, goals, and aspirations. Our significance is this, an army of people that are living for the vision of the house. And by the way, our vision always feeds our mission to reach people far from God. And I want to invite you into that. If you're not a member of the Father's house, if you haven't got planted, if you haven't been through Discover or Essentials, wide open lane, an on-ramp for you to get plugged into what God is doing in this place. And in that, you're going to receive vision. I want to ask you one final question. What can God do through you? What can he do through you? If God can take my wife and I, who are broken, disillusioned, pastors ready to quit ministry, and do what he's done through us, what can God do through you? But it takes an I surrender all. It takes your heart and your life laid on an altar. You see, God doesn't share his vision and the scope of what he wants to do with the casual observers. This is not a vision buffet where you just cruise by and pick a few things and leave the rest. No, you go all in. You say, God, I'm all yours. My time, my talent, my resource, my marriage, my kids, my business. And on that altar, God says, okay, now I'm going to show you. And it's progressive. But I believe this. He'll give you a glimpse of the long distance run, but just a glimpse. Because sometimes it's a bait and switch. Just say it. In other words, if I would have known the hurts and the pain and the sacrifices and the betrayals and the messed up people and the false accusations, if I would have read all that in the brochure 27 years ago, I'd have probably said, nah, I'm good. I'm going to go back into construction immediately. But God was gracious enough to show me that beautiful picture of the church he's building. And so I live a life, no regrets. Mistakes, yep. Sins, yep. Failures, yep. People I could have led better, for sure. You know what? I take all those to the foot of the cross. And I want to encourage you to do this. Take all that to the cross and say, God, for the rest of my days, I'm going to live for a bigger vision. And you can live from this day forward a life without regret. You can run toward the high call of God. Amen? Amen. Other locations going to invite you to have a ministry time. In this room, would you bow your heads? Holy Spirit, speak to us in these final moments. If you're here today, before I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation on every believer in the house, if you're with us and you say, Pastor Dave, I haven't fully surrendered my life to Jesus. I haven't come to that altar with my future, my plans, hopes, and dreams and said, take it all. With heads bowed, believers praying, I want to give you a moment between you and God to say, today's my day. I'm all in. I surrender all. Jesus, take my life. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you know that today's your day to surrender and say, God, forgive me of sin. I want to be your disciple. In this holy moment, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to do something bold, something that'll take your will, your volition, and that is to lift your hand and say, I'm all in, include me in this prayer. So if today God is drawing you, if you've been away from him, or this is a first time commitment, would you lift your hand, look at me and say, today's my day, I'm coming home right now, right here and here. God bless you guys, right in front of you, right, a whole cluster right there. God bless you guys. That's awesome. Right here in the front. God bless you. Thanks for showing up. Right here, over here, all across the top. A lot of hands here today. Just wave those a little bit more. This is between you and Jesus. I'm agreeing with probably dozens of people right now. Yeah, thanks for waving. That's like the concert wave right there. That's cool. Love it, love it. If you're in one of the side rooms today, we agree with what God is doing all over this auditorium and beyond. On the stream, if you're joining us, Prison Church Network, this is your moment. I'm going to pray a prayer because it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, something supernatural occurs. I can't save you. I can't shift your heart, but God will do it as you believe that he's the Son of God, died on a cross for your sin, rose again on the third day. And then you say, Jesus, be my Lord. Something will happen today. So I'm going to ask every Christ follower to join all those that are making this decision. Everybody repeat this after me with some passion. Dear Lord Jesus, today's my day and I'm coming home. I say yes to your invitation. I open my heart to your grace. Forgive me of my sin and make me your own. And from this day forward, I will be your disciple. I will follow you till I see you face to face. In Jesus' great name, amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Amen. Now, I got one more thing I want to pray before we go, and this will be important. I actually believe as I was preparing, God's going to give some people a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And some of you need the veil lifted off your eyes. And before I pray that prayer, if you just agreed with me and said, I'm coming home, I want you to grab one of these orange cards from any leader around the edge of the room and meet with us today in the Connect space. We want to help you get started on your journey of faith. But I want to pray right now, spirit of wisdom and revelation on every believer. God's call on your life, his potential for your life. Would you stand to your feet? And if you're up for it, lift your hands toward heaven. Father, right now, we pray. I pray for a revealing of what's been hidden. I pray, God, for calling, for ideas, for business ideas, for creative ideas, for partnerships. I pray right now a spirit of wisdom and revelation be on this church. God, show us what it is, how we can be involved in the future of building your kingdom. And I pray, God, let the veil be lifted in Jesus' name. God, let the malaise be lifted in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for everyone who feels like they're stuck today. Holy Spirit, come, tap them on the heart and say, I got you. Today's your day. You're moving forward. So God, remove the veil and let us see clearly the hope and the calling to which we've been called. We pray that be honest in Jesus' name. Just still praying with your head, you know, your hands raised, whatever, but I just got a word for some business people in the room, okay? If you'll receive this, I believe God is doing something in these days and he wants to use you as a channel of revenue to extend his kingdom into the nations, global reach, but you need to prosper. You need to prosper well to pull it off. So if you're a business owner, or if you just want this prayer over your finances, right now, God, I pray for release of finances, creative ideas, and partnerships that will bring kingdom wealth to build a house. Father, I pray for every business owner right now, give them the best season they've ever had in the next 6 months. I pray for the right employees, the right contracts. I pray, God, that everything coming against them will just fall to the wayside and give them a vision to be a channel for the nations. We speak that over them today, prosperity and blessing upon your people. So may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. And may he give you peace in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.